On it, to be quite honest with you. Something that we all struggle with though, and it, in its various forms. Perhaps not in the way this individual did, but each in our own individual way at times we struggle with this. And I'd like to turn the Bibles to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to be looking at a section of Peter's life. Peter was, as we know, one of the 12 apostles or one of the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus when he was having his ministry on this earth. And there's a lot said about Peter throughout the Gospels. He's probably has more said about him than any other of the disciples. And we get a bit of an insight into his life of perhaps the highs and lows like no other of the disciples. And I'm sure as we've read through the New Testament particularly and read through his life, there's been things that you've been able to identify with in his life. Things you look at and say, yeah, that's me. Or no, I don't think I'd do that, but yeah, that's me. And tonight, hopefully, we'll be able to look at a bit of a cross-section in this particular chapter in Luke 22 and then just draw some points from that to help us in our walk with the Lord. But in Luke chapter 22, and we're going to read from verse 31 through to verse 62, and it is a lengthier passage, but I believe it's important to read that because of the context, and just to get the flow through there. But in Luke chapter 22, and starting to read in verse number 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. He said unto them, it is enough. He came out and went, and as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him, and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, we just come before you now, Lord, and we ask that you would challenge each of our hearts. Lord, we pray the Spirit of God would have the opening in our hearts to speak and to move. Lord, there are many things, Lord, that the Word of God has to say to us, and we pray, Lord, that tonight we would hear from you. Lord, you would challenge us, you would challenge me, Lord. Encourage me. Lord, we live in a wicked world and many temptations are on every side. Lord, may we be found faithful to you and obedient to the word of God. We give you all the glory and praise for what our Lord Jesus has done and wants to do in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said earlier, the man Peter is a very well-known character throughout the New Testament. And perhaps this account that we have here of Peter is one of the more well-known, the denial of the Lord Jesus by Peter. And we can only read what the scriptures have to say to us. The Bible doesn't give us all of the information that we would perhaps like. And there are some things which we would say, I wonder what he was thinking, or I wonder what his motivation was there. But there's enough said and there's enough written for us which we can have for our learning and our admonition. To deny. I think most of us here would be very much on the side of Peter if we were asked a question or told that there's a potential that we might deny the Lord. We would like to say, well, no, I would never deny the Lord. I would like to say that by God's grace, I would never deny our Lord Jesus. But I think to say so would be to not understand myself even. Because if we look at Peter's life, it would seem to indicate that he didn't even know himself. And when we look at Peter's situation and where he was and how he lived and who he spent his time with, you say, if Peter denied, in one sense, how could I not deny at some point in my life? I mean, Peter spent his days with the Lord Jesus. He was as close to the Lord Jesus as any human has ever been. And yet, the great apostle Peter denied the Lord Jesus, and not just once, but thrice. And it serves as a warning to us because we be very prone to denying the Lord Jesus in our own way. And whether it be in word, as the Peter here, as we read, three times, and in fact, if you read in some of the accounts in the Gospels, you find that on the last time that he denied the Lord Jesus, he actually cursed. Very vehemently said that he never knew who the Lord Jesus was. As good as an ungodly, unsaved person might say. And yet it's possible. And we might say, well, we have the word of God and we have the warnings and we would, you know, be very, very careful that we would never deny our Lord Jesus, but it is possible in our own way to do so. Very easily. Maybe not in word, we might not say that, but that would more probably be because we don't have the Lord Jesus in person next to us. You need to look at the situation here, and you have the Lord Jesus being tried, and you have Peter here watching, and I can just see it that when they're accusing Peter of being a follower, they have Jesus here and they have Peter here and they're saying, you're one of his disciples, and they're pointing at Jesus. And Peter's looking the other way saying, I've never seen him. I've heard of him perhaps, but I've never seen him. How much easier is when we're in our own little world, in our workplace or our home or out and about, to deny the Lord Jesus. Maybe not by word, but by action. And some of those things I'd like to look at tonight. Why did Peter deny the Lord? Why did Peter deny the Lord? Because if we can find out why he denied the Lord, then I believe there's some help for us how we might avoid it. The great thing about the scriptures is it deals with the problem by dealing with how it happened too. It just doesn't say there was a problem, but it goes and leads us through a path so we can see why it happened. And I'd like to look at a couple things in Peter's life tonight. We'll be looking at a couple scriptures. But turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, I believe this is perhaps the first thing which would give an indication that he was going to deny the Lord. In particular, when the Lord was being tried. But in Mark chapter 14 and verse number 27, Mark chapter 14 and verse number 27, it says, "And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Jesus said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Notice Peter's response, but he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." The first thing, I think, which contributed to Peter denying the Lord was pride. It was pride. Peter had just been told something by the Lord Jesus, and it was not a subtle hint. It was a very direct statement. He wasn't warning Peter something that might happen. He was telling them, this is what will happen. And often, we read the scriptures, and it's thus saith the Lord, but we have this kind of idea in our head that it's kind of up for debate. You know, we read the scriptures that say, you reap what you sow, and we read about the consequence of sin, and we read about the warnings of being associated with the world, and all these kind of things, and yet somehow we think that we can somehow get away with it, that it doesn't apply to us. And the reason behind it, the motivating factor is, what? Pride. We say, no, I wouldn't do that. That's just, I'm too good a Christian. We wouldn't say that in as many words, but in reality, we're thinking that. Thinking, I'm a mature Christian. I've been saved for 25 years, and there's no way I would deny the Lord. The reality is, it's going to happen if we say we're not going to do it. The Bible says, let a man take heed when he thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. I remember someone saying once, they said, it's a long way to the finish line as far as our lives are concerned, but you're one step away from your past. It's not hard to go back. It's not hard to deny. Spiritual pride has taken down many a good, faithful man. When he stood and made claims, when he stood and said, I would never do this, when he stood and said, I'll always preach that, when he stood and said that there's no way I'll deny the Lord, and yet those same men today, nowhere to be seen. You can't find them. Why? I believe they're very, very much like what Peter said. Vehemently defended himself. He said, Lord, you know me. You know me better than that. I would never do that. The Lord Jesus said, no, you're going to do it. I just know. And instead of taking heed to what the Lord Jesus said, he continued to defend himself. You know, you can normally tell a person who's wrong, or a person who's squawking about how good they are. It's normally what it is, isn't it? You shouldn't have to defend yourself. We do that because we're proud. We do that because we don't want someone to think that we're capable of something which we don't want to do. And yet we are so easily led. so easily tempted, and so easily we fall away because of that spiritual pride. We've been saved for 3 years, for 4 years, for 10 years, for 50 years. You read about some of the kings in the Old Testament. Some of the kings turned from the Lord in their latter years. Not all of them were, just a wipeout from the start. Many lost their testimonies after 40 years. Think about it. Take heed lest we fall. Spiritual pride. We've arrived. You know, it's only by the grace of God that we are what we are. As soon as we start thinking it's because of the effort that I put in, we're on a downward turn. Apostle Paul could say, I am what I am. By what? The grace of God. Not by my efforts. Not by my spirituality. He could say, I'm just pressing on. I don't think that I've already apprehended. I don't think I've already arrived. He said, oh no, I'm only one step away from going back to where I was. And that's the reality for all of us. We're just sinners. Sinners saved by grace. We need the Lord in our lives daily. Let's turn to John chapter 18. The first thing is pride. John chapter 18. In Luke, we read about the swords that the Lord Jesus mentioned. He said if they didn't have a sword to go by it, and they came up with two. And the Lord said, that'll be enough. Now, he didn't say what to use it for. I think that they thought one thing and he thought another. We know that because of what happened. John chapter 18 and verse number 7 says, then asked he them again, the Lord Jesus is, this is to the crowd that had come. He says, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I'm he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? In Luke 22, verse 49, it says, when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? So between Luke and John, we know that the question was asked to the Lord Jesus, we have two swords. Shall we use the two swords? Now, it doesn't say the Lord Jesus said, don't use the swords. But it doesn't say he said, use the swords. But it does tell us that when someone did use the sword, he said, put it away. So I can, just by deduction, I think we can come up with it that wasn't the will of the Father to pull the swords out. There was nothing wrong with having the swords, but they used them the wrong way. They used it the wrong way. The second thing that contributed to Peter was he acted in the flesh. He was not spirit-led. He acted in the flesh. See, any time you are acting in the flesh and the Spirit of God is not moving and directing you, you be careful, because you're not far away from denying the Lord. Peter denied because he was in the flesh. He was in the flesh. The Lord Jesus didn't say to them, bring the sword so that when it happens, you guys can take them on for me. Why? Because he said, I've got angels. If I need to be delivered, I can call them. I don't need you. I don't need the sword. It's not the will of the Father. He says what? The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The Lord Jesus said, I don't need to be delivered. I've come here to deliver you. But Peter acted in the flesh. Oftentimes, you think about your life. When you've denied the Lord, you haven't come out and said, I deny you, Lord, but you've acted in a way which you know has not been how a Christian ought to act. And close by, you'll find an act of the flesh. An act of the flesh. You're not filled with the Spirit. And as a result of that, we deny the Lord. we deny the Lord. You say, why was he in the flesh? Well, I believe there was a reason for that. Let's have a look in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. See, we get in the flesh because of a very good reason. It doesn't just happen accidentally. You see, some people say, have this attitude, I couldn't help it. Like, it just happened. I just snapped. I just lashed out. I said that and I shouldn't have said it. But why? You see, there's a reason why things happen. And if we just have this attitude, well, we can't help it, and it's on because I'm a sinner still, and all these kind of things, we can make excuses for just about anything. And that's the problem with us. We're continually trying to find an excuse for the way that we act. Instead of saying, no, I'm not what I ought to be, we try and blame someone else. We try and blame the devil. Say, well, that's the devil's fault. Now, the devil's always been there, and he's always going to oppose you. He's never going to help you, so don't blame him. You're not just some random target that he rocks up to on Monday morning and targets you. He's always against you. We know that. So our responsibility is to be prepared. Is that right? I believe it is. Matthew 26, verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What was Peter's problem? He hadn't prepared for temptation. I believe that it was no coincidence that that the Lord Jesus took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. It's not coincidence. Remember how the Lord Jesus just said to Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me. You say, well, Peter was one of the closest ones. Yes, he was, but I believe the Lord Jesus here was given an opportunity to prepare himself. He took him away. I mean, how many people have had pretty much a one-on-one prayer session with the Lord Jesus in person? There's not many. It was a pretty special time for Peter. The Lord Jesus had warned him, and instead, what's Peter doing? He's asleep. And the Lord Jesus says to him what? He says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Why? There's a reason, isn't there? Let's think about it. There's a reason. The reason is this. The Spirit is willing. Yeah? Peter says, I will never deny you. What's that? That's the Spirit. Yeah? But he forgot about the flesh. And you see, the flesh is weak. And as strong as the Spirit may be, the flesh is just as weak, if not weaker. And you have this battle raging inside of you. The Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do what you want. That's the problem. And the Lord Jesus said, if you're going to have victory, what do you need to do? You need to be alert. You need to be on guard. And you need to be praying. So why did Peter deny the Lord? I believe the reason was because he wasn't prepared. How many times have you got up in the morning and said, some other day. We'll read the Bible some other day. We'll pray some other day. When I get time. And you get to the end of that day and you say, that day was a complete write-off. You been there? It's true. Why? Because we didn't prepare ourselves. And if we don't prepare ourselves, what do you expect but the flesh to take control of the day? It has to happen. It's not accidental. It's not, I just lashed out, or I just said this, or I just didn't say that. No, you prepare for the day. And if you don't prepare well, the flesh is going to knock you over by about smoko time. probably before. That's what happens. We didn't prepare. See? Spiritual pride. We get in the flesh. We get in the flesh because we don't prepare for it. The Bible says walk in the Spirit. It's funny how it says don't walk in the flesh. It says walk in the Spirit. Why? Because you're in the flesh naturally. To walk in the Spirit is the supernatural. But we need to walk in the Spirit. Peter, he did not prepare himself. You know, I don't think for most of us it's a lack of desire, but it's a lack of preparation. We don't see it as serious as it really is. The area of denying our Lord. Let's go back to Luke 22. Just got a couple of things to finish off with. Luke 22 and verse 54. Luke 22 and 54. And I guess all of these things, they kind of add and complement each other. Okay, it's a package deal. It'd be strange if there was just one of these areas that you were struggling with. It would kind of touch most things. But these, some might be stronger than others. Luke 22, verse 54. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. It says, then they took him, that's the Lord Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. So what was one of the things that contributed to Peter denying the Lord? I believe the problem was he was too far away. He's too far away. Think about it. He followed afar off. You see, it's easier to deny the Lord when you're not close, isn't it? See, when you're not close, you don't really care. And that's our problem. You think about your closest friends. Let's think about this. We'll do a bit of a comparison here. But the closest friend that you have, the very closest, your bestest friend, and you're in the company of somebody else, and that particular person says something derogatory about your closest friend. Now, if they are your closest friend, then I guarantee you're going to say, hey, that's my good friend. I'd appreciate it. Don't talk about them like that. Someone said something derogatory about your mum or your dad, and you're close to them. You say, excuse me, that's my mum and that's my dad. Yeah? You'd hope. If you were very close. I know there's some strange situations and we're not talking about those. We're talking about the normal run of events here. But think about it. You would stick up for them. Why? Because you're close. See? Why did Peter deny the Lord? One of the reasons was because he wasn't close. He followed far off. He was down the back somewhere. Yeah, he had his eye on him and he would catch a glimpse of him every now and then. But that was about as far as it went. You know, a lot of Christians are like that. We're like that. We catch a glimpse of the Lord every now and then. But that's about as far as it goes. It's about as far as it goes. Yeah, we know he's in the palace. Yeah, we know he's being tried. But something else has kind of grabbed our attention for the time being. It just happens to be a nice warm fire. See, if we were that close to the Lord, we wouldn't deny him. If he had been standing up in front of the Lord, do you think he would have denied him looking at him? Do you think Peter would have denied the Lord if he was standing next to the Lord Jesus and said, if you try him, you're going to try me? He's not going to deny him. But you see, he's in the flesh. He's not prepared. He's had his pride already dented. And he's way off down the back somewhere. There's no place to be for a Christian afar off. You want to keep the Lord close. You want to start the day in a good way. In a close way. Because if you're not close in the morning, you're not going to be close at lunchtime. If you're not close in the morning, come tea time, you're not going to be close. See, that's the way it is.
See, when you're close with someone, you spend a fair bit of time with them. Peter, as much as he loved the Lord, as much as he said that he would die for him, when he drifted away and got out the back somewhere, it was only a matter of time, and he denied him thrice. Serious. It's not accidental when you deny the Lord. There's a reason why it happens. Peter wasn't close. The next verse says, read verse 54 as well. It says, then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. Peter followed afar off. When they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, notice what happens. Peter sat down among them. So why did Peter deny the Lord? What was one of the things? I believe he was with the wrong crowd. See, it's pretty hard as a Christian when you put yourself in harm's way to have a decent testimony for the Lord. You say, well, does that mean I can't talk to unsaved people? No. Don't take that out of context. Okay? Just think about it. Too many Christians, though, feel that you can just hang out with whoever you want to hang out with. You can fellowship with whoever you want to fellowship with. You can go wherever you want to go, and the Spirit of God is just going to give you that strength when you need it. That's not the case. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says a wise man walketh with wise people, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. You say, well, I'm the exception to the rule. It's not possible. It's not possible. You say, but I've got all these unsaved friends and I do all what God wants me to do still. Okay. That's right now, maybe. But we need to be so careful. You see, the Lord Jesus spent time with the publicans and he spent time with the sinners, but do you know why he spent time with them? Because he was trying to get them to himself. You see, we spend a lot of time with the wrong crowd, not so that we can win them to Christ, but that so we can be accepted and be popular. And to do so, you have to compromise who you really are. You tell me, how can you sit with a group of unsaved people and watch some kind of movie which is full of all kinds of wickedness under the guise of, well, I'm trying to win them to Christ? How can we do that? It's not possible. Because the world knows that that stuff is wrong. But we think as a Christian that we can kind of switch off the wrong and just switch on the good. You're watching the same thing. And I've heard people say, well, you know, you can go down to the hotels, and I've heard even people say you can go down to a brothel if you wanted to. And as long as your desire is to witness to people, then it's all fine. I haven't seen those people for a while. Why? Because they're messed up. Peter's with the wrong crowd here. He's warming himself with the wrong crowd. We said to start with, it's not wrong to have unsaved people who you have befriended and people that you spend time with. But what is the motive? What is the desire? And honestly, between you and God. Not something you say, yeah, but that's what I'm trying to do. No. Before the Lord, what is it? Peter wasn't trying to win these people to Christ. He was trying to pretend he wasn't a disciple. He was trying to morph, if I could use that word, morph with the wrong crowd. Change to be one of them. We do the same. What about what we do in our lives as Christians? You say, well, I don't hang out with the wrong crowd. Well, you know, I do try and do the right thing, all that, you know, just please the Lord and so forth. But if people look at us as who we say we are, does our life match up with what a Christian's definition is in the Word of God? Or would they be hard pressed to find any similarities? Because that's as good as denying the Lord. It really is.
You know, people should be able to tell there's a vast difference between what we do. And not as some proud, self-righteous, stuck-up person who you can't get near because they're so holy. But as someone who has a genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ and a desire to please Him in everything they do in their life. Is that how they would see us? Or would they pick fault at us and say, well, you do this, you go there, you watch that, you say this, you listen to that, you act this way. And really what they're saying is this: you don't really love the Lord. You're not really a Christian. You're just pretending. It doesn't mean we're maybe not a Christian. But does our life match it? Are we the real deal? Peter here, he wasn't the real deal. Was he a disciple? He was a disciple. Was he one of the Lord Jesus' closest? He certainly was. But you see, when you get out of sorts, when you get out with the wrong crowd, when you don't prepare properly, when you're a little bit proud as to who you really are, and when you're just going with the flow, you're a long way off from the Lord. People don't see the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And they need to see Him if they're going to be saved. People should look at us and say, that person is different. They love the Lord. You could recognize them in a crowd because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what they're looking at?